Hello and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. We're your happy hosts, Amy and Madeline, best friends who work hard and hustle harder. We believe to be happy and healthy in your work, you need to be happy and healthy in your life.
We combine health, well-being and business with a fresh perspective to share the stories of normal people with inspiring lives. From leading entrepreneurs to athletes, models and artists, together we delve deep into their journey to success to find out why health and well-being is at the core of their philosophy.
Whether you're looking for advice and guidance for leading your best life, an engaging, easy-to-digest pep talk, or a boost of healthy enthusiasm to fuel your health and wellness goals, the Healthy Hustlers podcast is your go-to for kicking ass in work and play. Today's guest has been one of the most highly requested guests by you, our lovely listeners. So we are absolutely thrilled to finally be able to bring you no other than the beautiful Brooke Hogan. Based in Melbourne, Australia, Brooke is one of our country's leading models, skyrocketing to fame when she featured as a contestant on Australia's Next Top Model. Brooke's down-to-earth and humble personality quickly captivated Australia. On top of the booming Instagram account and the client list that features some of the biggest brands in the world, lies a super savvy and incredibly driven businesswoman who is paving her own path to success. Welcoming us into her Melbourne home, we had the pleasure of chatting to Brooke and finding out a little bit more about what makes her so fabulous, her career to date, and what her very exciting future has in store. So, Brooke Hogan, welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, we're very excited to have you. And I feel like we need to add a little bit of context for our listeners at home. You know, we've actually been trying to get Brooke for a while now. She's been a very highly requested guest of ours, so we're thrilled to have her. But there was a bit of a miscommunication on my end and I completely stuffed up the days that we were meant to record. So poor Brooke was waiting at her apartment with a beautiful platter for us. And so now I get to hang out with Brooke and Amy's in Geelong.
So I know. I was like sitting here and I'm kind of going, okay, it's 2:15. Like, I think they're arriving soon. And I'm like, okay, there's going to be a mix up here. I have to call them. So I was basically eating a platter on my own. So digging into the school.
When Maddie told me, I was just like, Maddie, just go over there and zoom me in. It's fine. We'll sort it. I don't mind being away. It's no worries at all.
Yeah, so we've made it work. But yeah, like I said, you have been a very highly requested guest of ours. So that's, we really appreciate your time. And we'd love to kick off by hearing about something that people might not necessarily know about you.
Oh, that's a tough one. I actually just got asked this recently and I was sort of trying to rack my brain. I am quite a private person as much as I'm, you know, heavily on social media. I try and keep a lot of my life private. So I would say that for me, probably I really one day I want to own my own Pilates studio with a health cafe or something like that. I've really, really loved Pilates. I'm sure we'll probably get into that later. But having something for myself, for a studio for myself that I really, really love, that's a dream of mine. So maybe one day down the track.
Oh, amazing. I can actually so see you doing this. Yeah. My husband and I went to a boutique kind of Pilates studio in LA recently, and it was owned by a model.
Oh, really?
And it was seriously like one of the most beautiful experiences. Like, I do Pilates here, but it was it was so nice. And when you said that, I was like, oh, I can so see you doing that.
Maybe I'll have to go check it out and see what it's like.
I'll give you the details after this. So today you're at one of Australia's most sought-after models. Can you take us all the way back and give us a little sneak peek into Brooke growing up?
So I grew up on the peninsula, as most people know, and it's sort of where I spend a lot of my downtime now. I'm a family girl. I didn't go to like an amazing school or anything like that. Yeah, I had a great upbringing. My parents separated when I was quite young, but it's never sort of been something that's ever really bothered me, or it's been a sort of negative impact on my life. But yeah, I didn't go, as I said, didn't go to the best school. Like, I tried really hard at school. I was never super academic, but always really, really tried. And then finishing high school, actually going back, I got scouted at, it was like a convention thing when I was like 14, a lady came up to me, she's like, have you ever modeled before? And I was sort of like, No, I was too young. I never really thought about it. It kind of was on my radar when I was younger, but it just never really eventuated. And then went through high school, finished up there, and I went to uni. You're going to laugh. I went to uni for a whole of 6 weeks. my heart just wasn't in it. I was studying like a business course and I just sort of knew that it wasn't right.
Yeah.
So I worked in retail for a little bit and worked in admin and sort of never really knew what I wanted to do. I'd always done like a little bit of modeling here and there, but it wasn't something that I was kind of like, okay, I woke up one day and I was like, this is my dream, this is my goal, this is what I want to be. It was sort of me kind of just trying to figure it out. And I think it's like so funny, you know, you're 18 and you're in year 12 and they expect you to have your whole life sorted and expect you to kind of know what you want to do for the rest of your life. So I was kind of going, oh my God, why don't I know what I want to do yet? And then it just took a few years of, I guess, me in and out of jobs to then pick up on modeling. And at the beginning, too, if I'm being really honest, it wasn't something that felt supernatural to me when I was younger. I guess I'm quite shy. I guess as much as I'm bubbly and friendly, I can be a little bit of an introvert as well. So that whole aspect of being on show and I guess being put under scrutiny all the time I didn't know what it was at the time, but when I was young, I knew that I didn't love that feeling and I couldn't pinpoint what it was. But now looking back, I know that it was just the fact that I was quite young and I just was, you know, you're a little bit unsure of yourself and you're still trying to figure yourself out. So that at the beginning was a bit of a struggle. And as I mentioned, it wasn't something that I was like, yeah, okay, perfect. I want to be a model. But then Top Model came along and then kind of just everything spiraled after that. Yeah.
Well, we're definitely super excited to get into talking about Top Model with you. But I think it's really nice what you say about, you know, at 18, we're expected to like have this whole life plan of what we want to study and what we want to do. And it's just, I don't know many people that actually finish school and think they know exactly where they want to be. And I know like I've drifted to and fro on, and it's a really interesting one to think that we're meant to have it all figured out at that age. So exactly. I think, it's really important that we talk about that. And, you know, if there's anyone listening who still doesn't quite know their path or if they're on the right one, like it's totally fine.
So normal. And it's still, even now, like I'm 26, but I guess you're still always figuring that out and you're always evolving and learning new things. So even when you are 18, if you're expected to know what you're supposed to do, even if you do decide on something, you can change it. Like there's always time. And I think 18 is just so young to have, you know, that set in stone of this is what's going to be my career for the rest of my life. So yeah, if you are listening, you're not alone.
Absolutely.
No, you're so right. And it might make you laugh, but at 18, I also enrolled in uni in a business course and I was enrolled for 6 months, but I think I went to about 3 classes. I was in the exact same boat as you. I had no idea what I wanted to do and just felt like I needed to have it figured out and certainly didn't. So I think there's a lot of people that can relate to how you felt at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So you shot to fame in 2013 after appearing on Australia's Next Top Model. Can you please chat to us about this experience and what it was like to all of a sudden be in the spotlight and have people watch your every move?
So Top Model for me was a really exciting part of my life. And I'm honestly so grateful to have had that experience because I definitely don't think that I'd be where I am today without that. It was extremely tough. I was the oldest on the show. I was 21. Putting into perspective, all the girls were honestly 15, 16, 17. So it was just, it was a lot. You know, you're taken away from your family, your phone's taken off, you basically have no independence at all. You're living in a house with a bunch of girls that you just have never met before and, you know, being filmed constantly and being put under pressure and I guess like emotional pressure because they're trying to create a television show out of it. So at times it was really, really intense, especially I think at that age, but I really, really liked it. I was aware of what was happening and if there were sort of moments where I could tell the producer was maybe trying to get a comment out of me that was going to be great for TV, I was really, you know, just aware of what was going on and what they were trying to do. I remember this one time I was like, we did this tough mudder type thing and you know, I work out quite a lot and I was working out quite a lot back then as well. So I was like, okay, cool. I could win this challenge. Like I'm pretty fit. Like I've got this. And then I was winning this whole challenge, and it got towards the last 100 meters of this challenge, and one of the other girls overtook me and I came second, which is totally fine. I'm really not competitive. I was sort of like, whatever. And then I remember the producer sort of going, don't you hate her? You know, tell us how much you hate her, because that was yours. You should have won. And in my head, I'm going, I'm not going to say that I hate her. I don't, it's not me as a person. I'm not going to be that, I swear, I'm going to be that bitchy girl that's like, I'm not going to be that bitchy girl that is, you know, that people don't like on TV. And I was just really aware. So I think that really helped my experience on the show. And then, yeah, coming off the show, it was, I made a lot of great friends. It's been a long, feels like a lifetime ago now. It's like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. But I made a lot of great friends afterwards. And if anything, it was a huge confidence building, learning experience that you can't put a value on that. It was just, it was really, really good. It was strange, like coming off, and it wasn't as much in Melbourne. It was more in Sydney, when I'd go to Sydney and I'd go into shopping centres and stuff, and young girls would be like, oh my God. And I was like, this is so weird. I don't understand. And it's died off so much now. But at the beginning, it was kind of like, what is going on here?
Do you still get weird or like a bit shocked when people recognise you? Like, even, I'm sure you get it a lot in like cafes or stuff when you're out in Melbourne. Is it still a weird feeling?
It's such a strange feeling. And I couldn't even imagine what it would be like if you were actually, you know, Bella Hadid or someone genuinely really, really well known. But it is a weird feeling. And I've, as I told you before, like I'm quite shy, or can be shy. So when I see people looking or something, I'm kind of like, oh my God, this is so uncomfortable. Like, I wish they would just wave or just come say hi, because I guess that's a lot easier than making it uncomfortable. So I'm really friendly. Like, see me down the street, feel free to come say hey. Like, I'm just a normal chick. So,
oh, that's so nice. Well, there you go. If anyone sees Brooke, you know, you can just go and say hi. Yeah, but no, I thought that might be a strange thing. I guess, especially growing up on the peninsula, where you would know most people that you hang out with and all of that, you know, just smaller communities. And then I guess being in somewhere like Melbourne, that, you know, people are all about the, you know, people on social media and love seeing you out and about. Yeah. So yeah, it would be a funny thing.
Yeah, it's such a compliment though. Like, it's so nice. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
You clearly have such a good judge of character and intuition by being able to really know what the producers on the show were going to ask you and try and trap you. I know, like, obviously there's a lot of girls and people that get stuck in those situations. So it's awesome to see that you can, that you just have a really strong intuition and judge a character.
Yeah, I think I've kind of always thought that I'm not good at reading people, but I'm good at reading situations and understanding, like thinking outside the box a little bit, rather than kind of going, oh, okay, that's what I should do to be liked by them or whatever it is. I think that's probably come from my parents, that are kind of just like, do you, you don't need to pretend to be someone or pretend to be something you're not to make people like you. Just be yourself and it'll just happen. Yeah. So
that's awesome, and such a good thing for your parents to instill in you, like, especially at 21, like, you know, you're still so vulnerable and naive. Yeah, exactly. So
especially in an environment where they'd be like, oh, you've got phone calls on Sunday, you can call your boyfriend, you can call your family, and then it'd get to Sunday and they would say, oh no, there's no time today, it'll be next week. So it's kind of environments where you were really emotional. So for them to sort of put you in a room and then make you a little bit upset, they're trying to get these emotions out of you. And it's kind of like, unless you're really aware of it and really onto it, it can be a bit of a dark trap, reality TV. But yeah, I can say I was very, very lucky with my whole experience. So yeah,
that's good.
That's great. So you've already said a couple of times that you're a really private person, but you do have an extremely dedicated following. What's your approach to social media, and how do you always ensure that you're staying true to you?
Yeah, Instagram has changed, or social media, I guess, has changed so much over the past few years. I've been on Instagram probably from the very beginning. I think it's been like 7 years or 6 years or something crazy.
It's been a while.
So, yeah, I actually had it prior to Top Model. And it's changed a lot. And I guess I'm still learning who I want to be on social media too. But being a private person, it's not that I'm actually not choosing to not show that side of my life. It just feels, it's such a, I guess, a sacred thing to me, like my boyfriend and my family. And as much as I do put up hints every now and again, it doesn't feel natural to me to, you know, if I'm out for dinner with my boyfriend, to take a story or whatever to put it on for my followers. And I just think it's because when I'm with someone, I'm in the moment, I'm not really thinking about anything else. If I'm out for lunch with my girlfriends or, you know, whatever it is, I'm not thinking about my phone or I'm not thinking about putting things up on social media. And I'm very much like active and, you know, heavily on social media, but I really love and appreciate my downtime and my private life too. I don't know why. It's just, it is, I guess it's like a special part of my, I guess, my happiness that I just, I don't know.
Keep it a little bit private
and keep it to myself. So I do put things up here and there. And honestly, if anyone's ever watched stories of me and my boyfriend, he hates being on my social media. Like, he hates photos. Even if it's not going on social media, he just hates it. So I guess for me, him not being active on it as well has also impacted me in the way that when I'm with him, we're not really on social. It's sort of like we don't live together, so when we are spending time together, it's like good quality time. Otherwise, what's the point? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And it's something, you know, like Ames and I were chatting about it, like we really admire that about you, and that you stay so relevant and your audience is so heavily engaged and like with you, but you keep all of that private. And I think that's amazing. And, you know, especially how, you know, talking about how present you are with your friends and you don't think to grab your phone, like that's incredible and like such a huge thing. And I think that says a lot about you as a friend and your relationships, because, you know, we are really saturated these days and Instagram is that bit of a showreel, and it's always like, oh, you know, and I know I'm so guilty for it, that it's always like, oh, quick, get that quick Instagram story. Yeah. I'll put that up. And, you know, yeah, my husband's the same. He's like, get your phone away. I hate, like, he just hates it so much. So yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Being that way. I think it's incredible.
Yeah, so I appreciate that.
So obviously you're a model and you travel a lot for your work. What is some of your tips to stay on top of your health during these times?
It's hard. It is hard traveling. It's obviously, I'm so grateful to travel for my job, but to fit in exercise whilst traveling and working is really difficult. I try not to be too hard on myself. You know, if I've got a really long day, I've got a 12-hour shooting day and I'm flying to Sydney or I'm flying to Brisbane or whatever it is, and if I don't have time to do something, I try not to beat myself up about it. With that being said, I feel so much better when I am being active. So it's like a bit hard to juggle. So my good tip is I always have, like, you know, those booty bands.
The
elastic bands. They're so light. They're so easy to chuck in your bag. If you're going away, just chuck it in your bag. It's easy. Even if you're doing, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes in your hotel, if you don't have a gym at the hotel, it's always easy to do room, you know, hotel stuff without equipment. So if I'm going to Sydney, especially if I'm shooting swim or say lingerie or something where I want to feel my absolute best and want to feel super confident on set, I will go out of my way to make sure I do exercise. But I think it's all relevant to how busy you are. You've got to listen to your body as well. You can't be, you know, traveling. I actually just went a few months ago, actually, I was in Amsterdam for a job and I was literally there for like 72 hours. And I was shooting lingerie all like the 3 days I was there, and it was just, it didn't make sense to exercise. I was like, I'm traveling 35 hours to get to this place. I'm working, you know, 12-hour days, and it was just really exhausting, and it wasn't really an environment where I could go for a run. And I was sort of like, okay, don't beat yourself up. It's fine. You're eating well, you're feeling good, you've traveled a long way. I think it's really about that balance and knowing when is appropriate and when's not. But yeah, I use exercise a lot. As much as I use it for, you know, for my figure, I also use it for my mind too. So yeah.
Absolutely. As soon as you stop exercising, even sometimes just for a few days, you certainly notice the impact so quickly on your mental health and the way that you feel. I will often say to my husband after a week of not going for a walk, oh, I just feel so crap, like in my body. But then literally I might go for a run and then feel amazing again. It's just funny how your mind can play tricks on you. And it's important to keep it like on top of it.
It's actual endorphins. Like you genuinely feel so much better after exercising. I actually haven't gone to the gym or done anything this morning. Miles and I had a few wines last night. So I woke up this morning and I was like, okay, it's not happening in the AM. Maybe it'll happen in the PM. But even today, like I feel good, but I just know that once you throw in a walk, I can't throw a good walk, but if you throw in a walk or some sort of workout, whether it be Pilates or a run or whatever, you just feel so much better about your life and just everything in general.
Oh, absolutely. There's no better feeling. I must admit, I've only really started like fully committing to exercise and working out this year, because I would, like, I've always, like, done it, and I've always been a huge walker, so I'd walk every day, but, like, actual Pilates and I guess cardio, I'd kind of, like, do it for a few months, and then I wouldn't do it for another few months. But then when I was getting married, I was like, okay, I'm committing to these. Yeah. And I just, the way that you feel, like, even on Tuesday, I woke up and I was like, oh, I can't be bothered going to Pilates. And I ended up going, and it was with this trainer, Al, who's like, she's so hardcore.
I
was
like, I've actually done it at IKEA.
Yes. She's so good. And I was there and I was like, oh, I hate you so much right now. I was like, sweat coming off my chin, but you just walk out and, like, feel so unstoppable that day. I was like, oh, got this. Like, yeah, it's so good.
It's addictive too. Once you sort of start doing it, you don't want to stop. You're addicted to the feeling of feeling energized and feeling healthy and feeling motivated, that when you don't work out, you almost feel the complete opposite.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Definitely. So you're 26 years of age and you've got a booming career as a model. You're also the face of Women's Health magazine this month. Congratulations. What an achievement.
Oh, thank you so much. It's yeah, it's really, really exciting. I feel like this is probably a career highlight for me. I actually went up to Sydney to shoot the editorial of the magazine, and didn't really know that I was shooting the cover. They never mentioned anything. They were like, they flew me out for it, and I could see that it was a really great team involved, like amazing photographer, amazing makeup artist, and, you know, the rest of the whole team. I'm kind of going, okay, this is a really good team. What's going on here? And then when I arrived, it was, I don't know if it was a surprise or they thought I knew, but they were like, no, we're shooting the inside and we're shooting the cover. So I'm going, I should have gone to the gym this morning, or I shouldn't have had that wine a few nights ago. But then, yeah, we shot, I think there was like 5 options for the cover. And then I was actually in Bali a few weeks after, because when you shoot a cover like that, it's not always guaranteed. I guess it goes through like an approval process. And then if it happens, they'll just give you a call and say, okay, it's confirmed. It's on this month, X, Y, Z. So I was in Bali, and it was like 9 o'clock in the morning or something, and I was in bed. And I got the call, and I was just laying in bed, and I was like throwing my arms up and down. And my boyfriend's like, are you okay? What's wrong with you? And I was like, I got the cover. And I was just, and I'm not quite, I don't know. I'm not really overly, I'm going to say excited, but I kind of just quietly take it. So it's just like, I'm so proud of myself. So yeah, it's been a really, really good month for me and a great end to the year. And I'm so appreciative and grateful to be on the cover. So
It's seriously incredible. Like, I can totally understand why it would be a career highlight. And I'm so happy to hear that you were jumping around and celebrating that, because, you know, I think everyone can take something from that, of when you have those moments in your career that, you know, you work so hard to, and you then get that recognition for it. It's so important to celebrate it. So I'm so glad that you did, and that you jumped around with excitement, because it definitely should be celebrated.
Yeah. And I guess as the time goes on in your career, it's harder to, I guess, have moments where you look back or you achieve something to be excited about it, because things are always changing. You know, we're all so busy and things are coming in and out, and it's just like, sometimes it takes for you to get something like that, or just to even sit down and think about, you know, think about 5 years ago when you would look at that magazine and never even dream that that would be you. That's the things that I'm starting to do now, is kind of go really think about it and appreciate it, because I never thought that I would that would be me. So it's kind of taking a seat and going, okay, wow, that's really bloody cool.
Yeah. Awesome. And those moments, in a weird way, they can come and go as well. Like, it happens, and then, you know, your life does go on and you keep getting busy. So it's like, if you're not taking the time in that moment to actually celebrate it and to be so proud, then the time passes. Yeah, exactly. And it just becomes another thing that's happened and you haven't appreciated it all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
giving yourself a big pat on the back.
Yeah.
So as well as being a model, you also have a business, clothing label, with your brother, Trent. Can you talk to us a little bit about that project and, I guess, how you manage that with your career as a model?
Yeah, so Kenny Parker is my brother's little baby. It's his dream, his passion, it's his whole life. And we came together a few years ago, in which I just helped make that happen for him. It is our brand. I'm very much involved, but I don't want to take any credit away from my brother, because he does everything. He's creative genius behind it, I guess. But yeah, so it's named after our grandfather, who passed away a few years ago, and he was basically like a rock of our family. And we're kind of like, you know, what can we do to keep his name, you know, always around, because, you know, you don't want to ever just have a time where you just, you know, you forget and years go by. So we were like, you know, if we create this, he's going to be around forever. So it was really, really nice. And my nan lives with my mum and my stepdad now, and it's kind of really nice to hear his name pop up all the time, so everyone loves it. But yeah, social media is just has such an impact on, you know, growing a business and making a business happen these days. So social media has been huge for Kenny Parker, and I guess for Trent as well. But it's hard, I guess, as we all know, Instagram's always changing, and you can't rely your business on Instagram, I guess, mm-hmm. at the end of the day. But yeah, it's really good. And I've got lots of friends who are super supportive and always happy to, like, you know, post and wear our stuff. So yeah, it's really good. It's, as mentioned, his little baby. So I've got a few projects that I'm working on myself personally that are coming from passion rather than, you know, supporting someone else's passion. So really exciting things coming up. I actually can't say a whole lot about two of the things just yet, but yeah, really exciting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
I love so much that that's named after your grandfather as well. That's yeah. just, I have a really close relationship with my nan, and yeah, I actually have another business, and I call that, she's still here, but call that Mac Maid, because her maiden name is Mackenzie.
Oh,
so it's
cool.
Like the Mac from Mackenzie. Yeah.
Oh,
so
nice.
I always, and then Maid is Madeline. So yeah, I always love bringing grandparents into it. It's such a special relationship.
Special.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
So you can't talk about two of the things that are coming up, but is there anything that you can talk about with what's coming up with Brooke Hogan? What does the future hold that you can talk about at the moment?
Yeah, so it's been a really exciting end of the year, as I mentioned before, and an exciting couple of months for me. If I'm being brutally honest, just before I got the women's health cover, I don't know if either of you saw it, a few people brought it up since it happened, but I put up on social media that I was in the lineup to get this job, really, really wanted this job, and towards the very end, when I thought I was basically picturing myself in this role that I wanted, I got told that I didn't get it. And it was just sort of like, in this job and in this career, I've been doing it such a long time now, but you go to castings, you go to meetings, and you hear no a hell of a lot. And as much as it's a part of the job, it still doesn't get any easier. So it got to a point where it was sort of, as we were saying earlier, things go up and down in spirals. Sometimes you're super, super busy and you're really happy with the work that's coming. And then there's times where you're sort of feeling a little bit crappy, or you wish that you had got this, or, you know, you went for a job and you saw someone else get it. So it can be disappointing. So yeah, if I'm being honest, before this women's health, I had about two or three things in a row where I was kind of like, oh, this is crap. You know, I was just feeling pretty crappy about not my career, but just, I guess I was wanting to do more and it just kind of wasn't coming. Yeah. And you think you'd be used to it. I've had so many no's throughout castings and meetings throughout my whole career, and I've traveled and lived overseas modeling as well, and you hear no quite a lot. You think you'd be used to it, but I wasn't. So yeah, I was feeling pretty crappy. And then I've actually just been confirmed for a presenting role in a new TV show, which is coming out, which I'm really, really, really excited
about.
So
exciting.
Yeah, thank you. I went for a few meetings for it, and I was like laying in bed awake at night, just going, please, please, please. Like, I really, really want this. And I've been modeling for a really long time now, and I kind of got to that point where I was like, okay, I'm ready for that next thing. And I've always, yeah, as a model, you wear brands and I guess you're told what to wear and you don't really have any say. And I've done a few jobs as of late this year. And when you have a bit of a voice, it's different, and it's a different feeling, and it's a whole different ball game, you know? So yeah, so excited for this to kick off. I'm actually filming as of 2 weeks, so slightly nervous. Wow. But yeah, it's actually a funny story. I was telling my brother when I got this, my brother and I are really close obviously, and I was like, oh, I've got this really, really amazing role, and he was so happy for me. And he said, do you remember when you finished Top Model? He said, I got along really well with the presenters and whatever else, the producers, sorry, on Top Model, and they said, you'd be great on TV. You know, you're really, really kind and you're really fun and blah, blah, blah. You'd be great on TV. And I sort of was like, oh, okay. Didn't really think too much about it. And then when I finished, I was chatting to my brother, and I don't remember this, but he told me I said this. He's like, I got off and I said, I don't want to be a model. I want to be a presenter on Channel V. And I was like, I don't even remember saying that. But I think it was a time where I was like, okay, thinking about going from modeling, longevity for career, thinking TV, thinking, you know, media presenting roles. So he reminded me of that, and it was just a really special thing to kind of go, that was, you know, 6 years ago, and I said it then, and then now it's only now it's coming to fruition. So yeah, I'm so excited.
Oh, it's so good. It's almost like manifesting that future, isn't it? Like putting things out there to just be there and to get taken. I feel like when you put things out to the universe, they're so much more likely to come in the future. Yeah. So exactly. Oh, it's super exciting for you. I think it's amazing. And like you say about you really going to be able to have your personality show so much, and I guess people really understand you a bit more, and like I guess keep building that engagement and that with your community, which you already got such an engaged community, but they, you know, for them to be able to see you on TV and get that taste of Brooke all the time is super exciting.
It's a little bit nerve-wracking, if I'm being really honest, and who knows if I'll be any good, but I guess I think that's what it's all about. Is I was sort of thinking, okay, I'm going to go get some media training, or I'm going to go get some presenting lessons. I've done a little bit here and there, and the producers were sort of just like, just don't even bother. It's more about just being yourself and having your own personality shine through, which kind of scares me a little bit. As I said, I'm quite private, so having that rawness and that realness is a little bit confronting, but I think, you know, the more you do something, the easier it gets, and you pick it up and you learn, and I guess confidence comes from, you know, doing things over and over again. So hopefully, you know, this time next year, I'm feeling a bit better about it. But yeah, I'm really excited.
I was just about to ask you what you're doing to prepare for the role as a presenter. So you're not going to bother doing any training as they recommended?
Yeah, no, I thought I should, just because I like to be prepared, even for, you know, jobs. If I'm going for a shoot for a brand, I like to research and sort of know what the brand's about and, you know what I'm doing, I guess. So for me not to be prepared, I feel like a little bit anxious about it, but I think it'll be for a positive reason. So yeah, I think I'll just see how it goes, and hopefully,
because they told you, they said to you, didn't they?
They said don't get any. Just be who you are. And I was kind of like, oh, that's a compliment.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I'm scared.
So you also shot a very exciting campaign on Monday. Can you talk us a little bit about this project and what we can expect?
So a really exciting campaign for me. I just shot my collection for Jagged. So it's actually been such a long time in the making. This has been going on for over 12 months now. So basically I designed a small capsule collection with Jagged. That it was just such an amazing process, sitting down with the designers, and I guess being really creative was really, really fun. So that was, I think it was like January this year. So yeah, almost 12 months. And yeah, just shot my campaign for them on Monday. So it's really, really, really exciting. A huge milestone for me. I am so used to having people, I guess, tell me what to wear and never really having an input into, obviously, the creative side of things. So having this opportunity has been really, really, really fun. I've got a pair of tights, a jumper, a sports bra, and 3 or 4 tops. So quite like a small collection, but basically my favorite colors, my favorite styles, all brought to life. So can't wait for everyone to see that. It's coming out the day before the Portsea Polo. We're having a launch party at Hotel Sorrento, and everyone will be able to see the collection then. I'm actually not allowed to show anyone yet. I've showed a few friends, and I've just shown you now, but
I feel very special. Yeah. But I got a sneak peek.
They're like, don't show anyone yet. It's really special. So I'm not allowed to wear it. It's kind of just sitting in my cupboard waiting to be put on. So I can't wait to finally wear it.
Oh, wow. That is honestly so exciting. And it's really funny. Whenever we interview people, Amy always goes away and like literally will call me and she'll be like, oh my goodness, I just bought this product of theirs and this that they mentioned. I'm like, so after your interview, she's going to go completely broke with your active wear. That's amazing. Congratulations. And it is absolutely beautiful. I feel very special to have had a little sneak peek, and I can't wait to get some myself.
Thank you so much.
So the TV show is obviously an incredible opportunity and super exciting. Is there anything else that we can know about?
Yeah. So as I said, can't say too much, but just a few little projects on the side that I've got coming up. Creating my own range of skincare, which I've wanted to do for such a long time, but it's just such a hard thing to, I guess, facilitate and get done. So really early stages with that. But I actually had a meeting today, which was really, really exciting. So hopefully in the next month or so, I'll have a bit more info. But that's really exciting. also my own swim, which I've wanted to do. I feel like I've wanted to do all of these things for such a long time, and it's got to like, I've packed everything into 3 months and I'm kind of like, okay, get it all done. So it feels like I'm doing a lot right now, but my own swim, which I want to do for a really, really long time. And basically what I want the swim to be is a movement of body equality, body image. And throughout my whole career, one thing I even were talking about earlier is I pride myself on being super balanced, whether it be eating, diet, lifestyle. And I guess through swim, I want to send a message about promoting a healthy body image and body equality. And it doesn't matter what shape you are, what size you are, you can still feel happy and confident in your swim. And I was in New York actually mid last year, and I was seeing agencies, and I just got told over and over and over that I was too big for the market and I wouldn't work there and I should go to LA because it's more my body shape. And it was sort of just like an eye opener because, you know, I'm super fit, not super fit, but like, no, I try to be, like, yeah. You know, I work out quite a lot and I take care of myself. And it was just sort of being told that over and over and over when you're 26 years old, it's kind of just like, how does this even happen these days? And I couldn't even imagine what it would be like, you know, for just a normal young girl growing up to be, I guess, in a world where it's so impressionable on social media and stuff to look a certain way and be a certain way. So I guess I'm just trying to send a message and promote that really healthy, balanced lifestyle. And it doesn't matter what size you are or whatever it is, that you can still feel healthy and confident in your swim. So it'd be, yeah, women of all shapes and sizes. So that is huge. It's like a lot of work, and we really want to nail the fits and stuff, so, you know, girls with bigger busts or whatever it is feel happy and confident. So that's in the making at the moment. But
I think it's a little way off,
but it's more of like it's come from a feeling on the inside that I just want to create like a movement about it. So it's just, how can I bring out the way that I feel about, you know, my body and the way that I feel about my healthy, balanced lifestyle? How do I bring that out and try and help other people feel the same way? So I was like, okay, this will do.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Yeah, seriously. And an amazing project for you to embark on. I'm sure it'll be a big one for you.
Yeah.
Are you doing all the design and like campaign and styling and everything?
Have a team who are going to be helping with it, who are professionals in creating swim. So they know all of the fits and things like that. So there is a bit of a team involved, which is good because, you know, I'm not a professional. I don't know, you know, exactly what people want. So it's nice having, you know, a few people around to put in their input and have a final product that's perfect. So I think I'll do all of the designs in terms of like colors and styles and patterns and things like that. But I guess executing that and having the final product perfect there'll be a big team of us. So
That is super exciting.
Thank you.
We can't wait to see it all come to life.
I'll get you guys up.
Oh, thank you.
All I could keep thinking about when you were talking about all of these exciting projects is that if you hadn't have had a couple of no's a couple of months ago with whatever modelling jobs you were going for or whatever the opportunities were, you wouldn't have the time right now to be working on the things that you are, that you're so passionate about. I can imagine that you'd need heaps of time to put into an awesome skincare range and a movement that you're creating with your new swimwear. So I just think that is absolutely fate, and it'll 100% pay off for you in the long run. And yeah, I think it was meant to be.
Yeah, thank you. As much as it's time as well, I think hearing those no's is more of a driver as well to kind of go, you know what, no, I actually can. I was in a meeting this morning and it was about my skincare, and I was even saying, for me, doing Pilates, it's such an intense reform of Pilates, it's such an intense workout, and you're constantly kind of like, oh my God, this is killing me, I'm in so much pain, and you just want to stop. And when I'm there, I've said, even in my women's health interview, it's more of like a meditation and more of a mind thing for me. So when I'm there and my body's saying, oh no, this hurts, you need to stop, I'm constantly reminding myself, no, you don't stop, you keep going. And I'm more so applying that to my life and business too. So, and that, I haven't always been like that. I would probably say the past year and a half to 2 years is when I've sort of got to that point where I'm like, you know what, you can do this. And even though you have been told no, or even though you have been disappointed, just you can and just do it. I think the best piece of advice that I've just had recently is like, just don't think about it. Just do it. And I'm always thinking about things and, you know, wanting to come up with ideas and create a brand and create businesses. And I think about it and I never execute it. But
you always get scared, don't you? It's like exactly. The fear comes in and it's like, oh, what if this happens? Or what if that goes wrong?
Yeah. So I think it's all about just believing yourself and trusting yourself and just having a crack.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I was actually talking to my best friend this morning on the way to Pilates and we were talking about like what you were saying about you haven't always thought like that, but over the last 12 months, you've been thinking more like, you know, I can do it. And I was saying to her, you know, we're both starting to get like that as well, where it's like you kind of that little inner voice, you just listen to it less and less, or, you know, it will still pop up in a negative thought, but it's like, you can quickly recognize it and you get rid of it. And I'm like, I think there's something in that as well to be really proud of as a female or, you know, as a girl or a young girl, to almost be recognizing those negative thoughts that we have, because there's so many of them. And, you know, my best friend said to me, we only have a certain amount of thoughts in our life. Like, why let them be negative ones or ones that are bringing us down? So yeah, I think it's such an important thing to work on. And it's obviously working for you, and like, look what's coming now with just having that really positive mindset and believing so much in yourself that you can achieve it.
Exactly. And I think it doesn't come just as a click of a finger. I think it's something that you go through experiences, or you learn things along the way that brings you to a point where you that mindset changes, where you kind of go, you know what, no, I can do this. And whatever that is, it's different for everybody. But I didn't even acknowledge it until just recently. I'm sort of like, when did it change? And, you know, when did that mindset change? And it's just been, I guess as you kind of just trust yourself and just have a crack.
Definitely. It's definitely a work in progress.
I'm still working on it.
Absolutely. Same. So do you have any daily rituals that you swear by?
I try to have hot water and lemon in the morning. I think I read maybe Miranda Kerr used to do it, and I was like, okay, well, if she does that, I'm going to do it too. But I think it's just good for like detoxing, good for your stomach. I try and do that every morning, just half a juice of lemon and some warm water. But I'm also probably just trying to be active if I can.
Yeah.
As mentioned earlier, including that into my daily routine, I just feel a million times better when I do. I feel much more motivated business-wise. I feel healthier. I have more energy. So, yeah, including a workout or some sort of thing to get my body moving is probably my main thing.
Well, on your lemon water, my nana is 94 and she is still like completely with it, super fit, goes for walks, everything. She's incredible. And she's been doing warm water and lemon for probably the last 20 years every morning. Goodness. So I think you're setting yourself up for success.
I'm going to keep doing that.
Do you have a meditation practice?
Not specifically meditation. I find I get a little bit bored. I do feel better when I do practice being mindful. But for me, it's not about, you know, sitting zen, sitting down and closing my eyes. That just doesn't work for me. As I mentioned before, I use Pilates as my meditation. It's my time to put my phone away. It's as much as I'm thinking about the exercises. I'm really switching off and zoning out. And I'm thinking about, you know, things that I want or goals that I want to achieve. And it's my time for me. Exercise in general is my meditation. I don't do a lot of PT or class things because I don't use the gym for that. It's really a personal time. Yeah. So yeah, not so much meditation as sitting on a ground in a quiet room and closing my eyes. It's not really that. It's more about, just switching off and putting the phone away and making sure that's a conscious effort, you know, putting your phone away, or even waking up in the morning and not checking your phone is, I find, really good for my mental health. Is just not waking up and scrolling through Instagram for a few hours. It's waking up, getting up, having a shower, making your hot lemon water, whatever it is, being mindful about how you're spending those first, you know, moments of your day can really set you up to have a really good day. So yeah, that's probably my form of meditation.
So what would you say is your number one health tip?
Number one health tip. It's hard. Maybe not to diet. Don't diet. Think about it more as a whole, as a lifestyle. don't think, okay, I'm going to deprive myself of this, or I'm not going to have carbs, because you deprive yourself of things like that and you kind of just bounce back the other way completely. So try not to think about it as an effort. Think about it as a lifestyle. Even with exercise, my boyfriend told me to think about this. Try not to think of exercise as, oh God, I can't be bothered. I really can't bother today. Think about it more as just like you brush your teeth or just like you have lunch. Okay, so when am I going to fit my workout into my day today? Mm-hmm. Don't think about it as I can't be effed. You know, think about it. Okay, perfect. I've got to schedule that in. Where do I have time? That way you're not dreading it. It's more of just a daily routine, part of your routine. So yeah, I don't know if it's one health tip, but I guess it's just maybe the way you approach health and fitness, not thinking about it as if it's a negative. Yeah,
absolutely. That's a good tip from your boyfriend. Tell him I said thanks.
I always think about that. I'm like, I really can't be bothered today. He's like, just get it done. I'm like,
okay. It's so true though. And just movement in, like having movement is so important. Mm-hmm. Like I know even before this, I was like, I'd been inside all day and I thought, oh, I just want to go to a cafe and get a matcha and do some work there. And I was literally going to jump in my car and I'm like, Maddie, your body deserves to move. Like it's a nice day. Get out and walk. Warfare, and it's just... Yeah, reminding yourself in a more positive way that like of not even what you need, but it's just, it's so important to be giving your body those you know, the nutrients that it needs to drink water, to go for a walk. Like we all deserve to treat our body in the right way. You know, I think it should be our best friend and we should treat it like that. So exercise definitely shouldn't be looked at as something that, oh, I don't want to do, or it's such an effort. It's like, well, my body should deserve to move and to feel strong and to feel powerful and all of that. And the endorphins that you release from sweat.
I'm going for a run after this.
Oh. I'm totally going to Pilates after this too. Work off those vines I had last night. It's all about balance, guys.
Yeah, all about balance, absolutely. So one of my favourite things to ask guests is, what advice would you give to your younger self?
That's such a powerful question because it genuinely makes you think back to when you were young and what you need to hear to get to where you are now. Oh, there's so many things that I would say. I've never really been much of a stressful, I'm not really a stressful person. I sort of am quite relaxed. As I was telling you earlier today, I've never really been that anxious person, but if anything, it's just trusting the path that you're on and the timing of the path that you're on. So if I was talking to my younger self, as I mentioned before, when you're 18, you don't know what you want to do. That's fine. Don't lose sleep over it. I guess it's just trusting, where you're going, the timing of your own path, and stop comparing yourself to those around you, because everything's happening for you when it's supposed to happen for you and you can't control that. So I guess just trust it. Trust yourself.
Well, you now nailed that one. Yeah, that was awesome. I think, that's so beautiful, and everyone can take something from that, because it is. It's so important to trust the path that you're on, and we're all here for a reason.
Exactly.
So just to believe in it.
And just to quit the comparisons. With social media, there's everyone in your face, and you know, someone's younger than you, someone's more beautiful than you, and I guess we compare ourselves, so many comparisons, whether it's, you know, career successfulness or body, whatever. It's so easy to compare yourself these days that it's such an unhealthy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I've done it. I can hand on heart say that I've definitely done that in the past, and something that I'm trying to make a conscious effort not to do, because I don't like the way that it makes me feel. But growing up, especially modeling and in this career, it's all you do is compare yourself to the girl that got the job, or mm-hmm. you know, compare yourself to the girl that's on the model board next to you. And it's just such an unhealthy way to feel. When it just doesn't mean anything, you know, you're your own person, you got your own career, you've got your own shit going on. Yeah. You don't need to compare yourself to anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for all of the foodies out there, what does a day on your plate look like?
Is it a weekend or is it
whatever you want it to be?
About your a standard day.
So probably in the morning, if I'm going out for brekkie, I love going out for brekkie. It's my favorite meal to go out for, brekkie brunch. But if I'm cooking at home or making my meal at home, probably just porridge with some berries and some honey to sweeten it up. Or if I'm making a breakfast with my boyfriend, he gets Tuesday, Wednesdays off, so he likes me to cook him brekkie on those days. Like poached eggs, on toast. I have no intolerances or anything, but I just try and steer clear of gluten when I can, just because it just makes me feel pretty crappy. So yeah, poached eggs on toast, some avo, pretty simple. And then lunch, I'm always on the go actually. So it's sort of, depends if it's catering on a job or if I'm eating at home, but if it's catering, probably like a salad or chicken or fish or something like that. What did I have today? Oh no, we've got a platter with cheese in front of us today. Today's not a good example, but yesterday I just made myself some, it was brown rice, spinach, and I just put like canned tuna, and it was just like, sounds bland, but it's actually really good with some hummus on top.
Oh yeah.
So that was lunch yesterday. Snacks, blueberries, raspberries, which are sitting in front of us right now.
I know, I keep going to like, when I grab one, and I'm like, I'll wait till the interview's over.
Almonds, just sort of whatever, smoothie if I feel like it. I love chocolate. Anyone who knows me, I'm a chocolate obsessed human, so try and keep that away from me and it's not a good time. But then dinner, I love salmon, chicken. I basically eat everything, just veggies, anything that makes me feel good. I do treat myself quite often. You know, I have fortnightly burger night with my girlfriends where we watch Netflix on a Thursday night and order burgers and chips. And it's just, I guess, as much as eating healthy makes me happy, also having those times where I'm, you know, eating burger or eating hot chips, which is hot chips my weakness. It's just,
me too.
I feel good doing that. And I just think it's such a great relationship to have, to not feel bad about it, because we're only human and it's totally fine. It's not going to make a difference. So as long as it's all in moderation, I think it's all fine.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think it's one of those things that almost when you have the burger or the hot chips, or you realize how you actually feel, and it's like, oh, I really enjoyed that, but I don't feel that great after it. So it actually just motivates you more to eat healthy.
To eat well,
My husband used to always, I know you shouldn't, like, I don't want to call it a cheat day, but like Sundays was just a like no rules kind of day, because we're pretty like pretty clean during the week. And so Sundays, literally sometimes we'll get like a burger for lunch and then pizza for dinner, and I'll have like hot chips, go like literally all out. And you literally just get to Monday and it's like all you want is salads and greens. And I'm like, it actually really helps like reset your body.
Yeah.
And I, we don't do as much every Sunday now, but yeah, it's definitely something that we're like, okay, Sundays is just for like whatever we want to eat.
And you always look forward to that day too, because you're kind of like, I have that pizza and not feel bad.
Absolutely.
Oh, Brooke, thank you so much for joining us today for this chat. It has been so lovely, and you're clearly a beautiful person inside and out, and I feel like I got to know you really well in this conversation, and there were so many little nuggets of gold that you would give to every one of our listeners today. It's definitely one that I think we'll get a lot of messages afterwards to say that you're very inspiring. So I want to thank you again, and good luck with your projects that you've got coming up very shortly.
That is so kind. Thank you both so much for having me. I was actually nervous for this, but now that it's done, I don't know what I was nervous about, but I hope that the people listening enjoyed it. And thank you both.
Now, just before we leave you, I am so excited to bring you our product review of the week. Over the last couple of months, Maddie and I have been so lucky to be able to trial the Hyaluronic Serum from the Botanicals by Lux range. It's so brightening, it's really hydrating, and it's made a huge difference to the texture of the surface of my skin. You can get your hands on this beautiful Hyaluronic Serum, which is not only Australian-owned, it's also got no nasties and it's vegan friendly, at their website at botanicalsbylux.com.au. We know you're going to love it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so you can keep up to date with our new episodes each week. For a dose of weekly happy, healthy news, you can subscribe to our newsletter via our website at thehealthyhustlers.com. Until next week, make sure that you're investing in yourself to keep the hustle healthy.